Hey, Adam, before we start the show, I want to bring up our friends at GoToMeeting. You can check them out at GoToMeeting.com. GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix.
Love these guys.
I've done this thing. I've used Citrix for a long time, but this thing is awesome.
I do it all the time. We do it all the time because we do have a lot of these sort of like meetings where not everyone's physically here.
Yeah.
But these guys believed in us way back when.
Oh, really?
I mean, they were on board years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Couldn't find people to advertise on podcasts back in the day. Not our good friends over at GoToMeeting.
Well, GoToMeeting's the product I couldn't be happier with myself. You can actually see each other and talk and share spreadsheets and pictures and whatever documents you're working on. And then you can give it over to another person so they can put their documents up and you can actually write on each other's documents.
If you had this technology just 5 years ago, you'd be burned as a heretic. Hand of God.
Witch.
Hand of God.
You'd be a witch.
Hand of God.
You can start hosting face-to-face online meetings today. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, and use the promo code Adam, and you can start using GoToMeeting with HD Faces by Citrix. You can start using it immediately.
This is Corolla Digital. Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on mandate. Get it on, and thank you so much for those of you who came out and saw us at Santa Barbara. We do appreciate that. And for those of you who are listening to the show and passing it along to friends, loved ones, maybe old Loveline fans who are now discovering it. This show is just crushing it in the ratings, and it's all because of you. And if you'd like to come out and see us do our little reunion tour, you can come out to Denver, Vegas, Salt Lake City, Redondo Beach, Napa. And this is all coming up basically beginning of March through middle of May. So tell you what. If you want to go to adamcarolla.com and you want to click on the Drew and Adam banner, whatever it is, a live date, live show banner, you can find out. I can get into all the particulars, but if you're interested, just go there, click on, see when we're coming to a town near you. Speaking of clicking through, you can click through the Amazon link at Adam and Drew at the Adam and Drew page at adamcarolla.com. And if you'd like to donate, because what's a therapist cost these days, Drew?
$150, $200 an hour.
What?
Yeah, maybe more.
Wow.
Yeah.
So this is such a deal, as the therapist's father would say. Donate by clicking through the PayPal donate button and just a little good karma coming our way. Drew, we drive gas guzzlers.
Yes, we do.
We're V8 men.
I've got one of those, yep.
Yes, and Drew's a very busy man, so busy that he's actually working right now.
That's true.
He's texting. You know, it's funny. Drew, tell me if you're this way or you're not or you don't know it. I have conversations with people all the time, like my wife, where she's like returning someone's text and I'm talking to them. I have this when I'm talking to Mike August on the phone and I can,
tell.
Somewhere about minute seven of him going,
Yeah.
And then I go like, when are we supposed to be in Salt Lake? What's the name of the theater we're playing in Salt Lake? It's the And I realize, okay, he's doing something.
Yeah.
He's doing something.
Yeah.
And I get into this, and I realize people can parrot back exactly what you're saying.
Yes, without thinking.
But they're not listening. They're not processing what they're saying. And so I always do this thing with my wife where I go, I don't mean to be rude. I'm not stupid. Because listen, you can say that to a drunk guy in a coma, and he will parrot back what you just said.
Yeah.
I just go, I'll wait till you're done doing what you're doing. I'm not being a dick, but you're engaged in something other than this discussion, and I'd like you to finish what you're doing, and then we'll get into it. Drew, you probably have the ability, and obviously it's dangerous because people drive and they think they can do this.
Yep.
You have the ability to do this and listen simultaneously probably better than most people on
the
planet.
Yes, I had to learn to do that way in my training, be able to do two things at once. Had to be able to, because you're doing so, and I used to be way better at it than I am now. Mm. Like I used to be able to be solving a problem in my head, focusing on a problem, and giving directions to another nurse or something. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Now I've noticed I have to go back and forth very, very, very quickly. And, I fatigue after about a minute and a half. So I can do it about a minute and a half, and then Adam will give me the, all right. And you'll just stop talking is what you do. You just stop. And you wait for me to finish. You don't tell me it's time to finish. You just stop.
Well, we used to do that. I think we used to do that when you were having people fill out that stupid test.
Yes.
On narcissism that we're taking.
Yes.
Somehow I scored off the charts.
Shocking.
With the narcissism.
Shocking.
Well, listen. I'll grant you this.
You're a genius. Yes,
other people don't exist.
Right.
But neither do I. So how big a narcissist can I be? You know what I'm saying?
Touché. Point taken.
Let me ask you what kind of narcissist does this.
Okay.
I ruined a pair of pants that I wear quite a bit.
How'd you ruin them?
Shit myself.
Okay.
No. You know how I ruined my pair of pants? I was indoors. I was like in an event, a venue somewhere. I don't know if I was in an arena. I don't know if I was at one of the theaters I was playing or something like that. I think I was at a big, like, carpeted, like, I don't know if it's at SEMA or something like that. And I was chewing gum.
Oh.
And at a certain point, either I was being interviewed for a radio show or someone handed me a beer or something. But either way, I took the gum out of my mouth. And I looked around. And it was nothing but carpet and displays or whatever. I couldn't – there was no trash can.
Right.
There was no – I didn't have a piece of tissue or anything. There was nothing I could find. And there was no bathroom. I couldn't find it. I'm just holding this gum. And somebody said – well, it's time to do your interview now or whatever it is. And I put the gum in my pants. I put raw gum in my pocket.
Got it.
And then it ruined my pants.
Got it.
But I would not drop it on the ground and for somebody. I hate when I step in someone's gum. It fucking drives me nuts.
Yes.
And I wouldn't stick it to the other side of a table because I hate it when I'm in a diner and I put my hands there and I feel someone else's gum.
That's the kind of narcissist that would also be incredibly PO'd that there wasn't a trash can around. And do a half hour on it.
No, I wasn't. I'm incredibly PO'd when I step on other people's shit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, as we've discussed many times, you have a perfect compass for right and wrong.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's wrong to put other people in the way of the gum.
Yes.
You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't want somebody to do that to you, but you wouldn't do that to somebody else. You have a perfect equation there. There's absolute balance always.
Well, I don't factor in – there's no mitigating circumstances.
Right.
There are no – well, this guy's dad was really tough on him, so he can throw his gum where he wants.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with my shoe and his gum.
Right. You hold people to the same standard you hold yourself.
Yeah. I hold myself to a slightly higher standard.
No, that's the narcissist part.
No, I don't expect people to do some of the stuff that I do.
That's the low self-esteem stuff.
Yeah, right? That's low self-esteem.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's like the kind of narcissist.
Yeah.
Narcissist with low self-esteem.
Yeah, that's what made me so attractive to the ladies coming up. The narcissist with incredibly low self-esteem. That's why the ladies love me. Yeah. No, it's fun because, like, there's a couple of them in-house. Like, Dawson likes to go out there and smoke, and then he likes to smoke and hawk loogies on the blacktop where people either park or get out of their car or do whatever it is.
Nice.
He just likes to hawk oysters on the ground. There's a shrub that is 3.5 feet away that you could easily hawk your loogie into, but I walked out there and I noticed a sphere of loogies, like meaning he stood in the
orbit,
center,
like a unit, like a solar system,
kind of like a rainbird, you know, like he just stood there, and I just looked down. It was like it was a patio, you know, it was a little table out there, place for people to smoke. And I said, Dawson, do you think anyone wants to slide in your loogies on this blacktop? And he said, I don't know, you know. Blah. And I said, well, hawk it into the shrub, Dawson. And he said, yeah, okay. Like, I never thought of that. I never thought that people wouldn't want to step in my sphere of loogie. But all right, yeah, whatever. You're the boss.
But
I guess that's
that hypervigilance thing. That you have awareness. A lot of people are just out of it with their automatic behavior.
I wouldn't call that hypervigilance. There's a sea of loogies, and it's 4 feet away from the front door. And He came in the other day, opened his truck door, got out of his truck, poof, hawked one right on the ground, walked right into the building. And I thought, well, I guess we'll have to
retrain him.
No, we'll just revisit that, which you have to do. I now realize, I don't know who I was talking to about this, but the revisit that conversation, Mike Lynch and I speak about this all the time, I guess we'll have to talk about that for a 33rd time. A weird thing to me.
Yes.
Because that, I feel like that's, to me, one of the things, for instance, if, we just had a business meeting here.
Yeah.
If I walked out of that business meeting and the boss man came up to me.
Meaning you.
There was, let's say, a boss man.
Okay.
Floating around.
Yeah.
And he said, showed up that business meeting, your shirt's untucked, you're dressed like a homeless guy. We're talking to clients here. We're trying to impress clients. So I appreciate it in the future. You know, I'm not saying you have to wear a tuxedo to a business meeting, but put on a V-neck sweater so you look semi-professional. My greatest fear in life would be a second conversation with that man about my appearance at a business meeting.
Yes.
That'd be my greatest fear.
I think that must, because I have that same feeling.
Right. And if there was another business meeting scheduled for 2 months later, I would fucking be in front of the mirror with the lint roller out.
And somehow that equates with shame and low self-esteem in some weird way, doesn't it?
Whatever it is, I never want to get into that. I never want to leave another business meeting and have the boss man go, Adam, excuse me, can you come in the office. Shut the door, please. Can you sit down? That's the greatest fear.
Yeah.
Now,
I agree.
I don't feel like people have that fear anymore.
Yeah.
Because I do feel like I have the conversation. Mike, I don't know what we were talking about last night. But
last night, we were recording some pre-read ads, and people were shouting and talking outside of the door for the second time after being told to shush.
Can I tell you how many times this happens where people congregate in the kitchen?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, it's happened on this show, but it's happened on every set I've ever been on. People sort of congregate in a certain place. They start talking. Yeah. At a certain point, it's getting picked up by the microphones when you're laying down a recording studio or you're doing a movie or you're doing a TV show. Yeah. At a certain point, someone walks up to them and goes, excuse me, people, we're filming here. So either take it outside or zip it. We're live. We're recording here. And then you go back and you sit down and you hear the same people talking again. And then you go, really? Less than 3 minutes? I say 3 minutes, I mean 41 seconds. You have to now walk back again and tell the same motherfuckers to shut up?
It's like kids. Like if they were like...
It's exactly what kids do.
Yeah.
Exactly what kids do. Yeah. But now, we're all kids. And now the bad guy is the guy who comes back for the second time and tells them to shut up. And by the way, if he raises his tone, if he slips in a... Hey, I don't want to have to say this again, or I just told you. Oh, boy. That's verbal abuse now. My point is, I don't want that guy going back for the second time without saying, hey, how many times I got to tell you this? That's the message part.
Now, what's interesting is that in the day, let's say in the 60s and 70s, the guy coming back would have been, hey, that's the man trying to get us down, man. Our esteem is higher than that. But now I think it's everyone's so wounded that they're re-injured when you come back out and yell at them.
Yeah.
You know, it's a weird shift. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. I do know what you're talking about.
Not to say that the 60 and 70 thing was good. It was bad. It was still defiance and sort of, sort of casting off the shackles of the man, whatever that was. But now it's like, hey, the man wounds me, so I can't tolerate it being talked to that way. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, there's I'm going to go off and sulk.
No, I'm not even going to sulk. I'm going to, like, hurt somebody, myself or you.
Well,
and now I have to get it out of me because I can't tolerate the shame.
There's something,
right? It's an aggression that follows
There's an element of that. I think there's also an element of a sort of non-pecking order to society anymore. We've given up we've decided... At some point, we announced every child was the future. Everybody inside them had the ability to do. Find that cover with Fergie on it. I'll give you an example. We told like every woman, you have the power of the world at your fingertips because you're female. Let's take a look at Fergie on the cover of Glamour magazine.
Okay, there it is.
Can you read? Can you enlarge it a little more? By the way, Fergie's wearing high heels.
It's not the Princess of York. This is Fergie from
Black Eyed Peas. She is as dolled up, as glammed up, and as whored out as you can be. She's wearing, she's all leg. She's wearing up the crotch, tight cycling like shorts that go way up the leg. I mean, right?
Yeah.
She's wearing a very tight shirt, and it doesn't look like she's eaten in weeks,
yeah,
right?
Right.
Now, here's her quote from Glamour magazine as she stands there, all 102 pounds of her airbrushed and
multimillionaire.
3 hours in makeup, 3 hours in hair. Let's read the quote, Drew.
I believe that every woman has the power to change the world. We make things happen.
All right. Does that mean anything?
No.
What about the fat chick who's working at the Noggles? Does she have the power to change the world? I think Del Taco bought him. Every woman has the power to change the world, because that's going to get confusing if every single woman can change the world.
Show me a picture of a Noggle.
The world is going to be changing on an almost daily basis if we give that power to every woman. So does Fergie believe that? Does Fergie really believe that, or is she just fucking high? Or is she just blowing smoke up everyone's ad?
I mean, it doesn't mean anything. That's the thing.
It means nothing. There's Noggles from the 70s. Yeah.
Noggles.
Yeah, by the way, free orange juice with steak and egg burrito. This is from the 70s, so I don't know if they're still running that promotion. But if you can find a Noggles, there's a chance you can get some free OJ.
See if you get a picture of the actual the hut that Noggles.
I like
that's
that
the comedy.
Greasiest. I like that. Hey, listen, they're bringing the Noggles back.
No, seriously,
they told me. They've tweeted me.
Mr. Noggles told you.
Ms. Noggles.
Douche Noggles.
Douche Noggles. The eldest son. Yes, Douche Baggert Noggles. Told me.
Six tacos, $150. Now,
wow.
30% of the kids in this country go home.
All right, hold on. I want to see. Yeah, well, they all go to bed hungry. I want to see Fergie's quote one more time. Every woman.
We make things happen.
Every woman has. She believes.
Has the power to change the world. She doesn't say each woman. She says every woman.
Every woman. If Fergie believes this, she's retarded. She doesn't believe. I believe that every woman has the power to change the world. And by the way, you're printing this shit, idiots.
You think she said that. Some publisher said, here's what we're going to put. You okay, we're going to sign off on this?
Listen, you don't empower – hold on, quiet. You don't empower people by yelling at them to be empowered. They go out and educate themselves. They work hard. They achieve things. You don't explain that you just believe that every woman has the power to change the world. All right. This is the problem. Now, if every woman has the power to change the world, then I'm guessing every man has the power to change the world as well.
Well, a little less than women.
A little bit less.
Less than women.
Right. They are. They do build the skyscrapers. They do put the men on the moon.
How dare you?
All right. The point is that
women didn't have the chance.
They would have put right. Man. They would have done it. They're held back by man.
Yes. You got it. You figured it out finally.
Okay.
You got it straight. Okay.
All right. Now everyone can change the world. So how can I go in and yell at Chris Maxipata to do something when he has the power to change the world, or at least his girlfriend does? Do you know what I mean? Like, why should he listen to me? He's the future.
Yeah.
Every child is special, and he has the power to change the world. So why is he making coffee for me?
Well, that's the whole point.
If you had the power to change the world and you decided you're going to make Adam a pot of coffee, wouldn't that be like squandering your world-changing power day?
Yeah.
It's all right. So don't listen to me. Right. There was a time when the message to children was, you should be seen and not heard. Shut up and sit down.
Work hard, maybe the good things will happen to you. Remember that?
Maybe. That's right.
There's always a maybe. It's like if you work hard, perhaps things will work out. Now it's like things are going to work out if you work hard, and then they're confused when it doesn't.
There's a little saying that I'd like to apply to all kids that comes from the mouth of my Guatemalan nanny. which goes a little something like this. Shut up. Sit down.
Sit down. I got that.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's a genius. She could change the world.
Listen, there's a lot of wisdom that comes out of her village, as I like to say. She loves that one. In your village, I would say to her, every time. Yeah. Shut up and sit down. So we have a whole group of kids.
Clearly, Natalia's gotten that one, internalized that.
Mm-hmm. We have a whole group of kids who, instead of shut up and sit down, I had to go to their school, and I had to watch them walk in a circle in a grass field for an hour and hold up signs and yelling, "Go Timmy."
And you're shouting, "Go!"
And then I have to pay them $100. Now, he's a hero. No running. We don't want any injuries. It's a walk for fitness. Walking is something elderly people do when they're recovering from a hip surgery, right?
Correct.
Not six-year-olds.
No.
That is not...
Not for fitness.
Walking is not for fitness for a six-year-old.
Walking for a six-year-old is like containment.
Yeah.
It's like we're going to help you focus and contain. Walk for a little while.
That does not constitute exercise for a 6 or 7-year-old. Yes?
Yes. Now dig.
All right, we've ruined our kids.
No, dig.
All right.
Dig. So this whole thing you're going off on, because I want you to think about this. Really what you're talking about is the misappropriation of something – well, perhaps misappropriation in your mind, misappropriation, because people could disagree of a concept that I think we all agree is good and the foundation of this – one of the founding principles of this country, which is equality, right? And equality, as Abraham Lincoln saw it, was equality of opportunity, level playing field – in the race of life. So everyone has equal not everyone has equal ability, not everyone's the same height, not everyone has the same level of strength, but everyone starts on the same plane.
But
and do with it what you will.
Can I say this quickly?
Yeah. Yeah.
Equality should be a goal, but not an obsession. We have turned it into an obsession because it is mathematically impossible to have complete equality. Impossible.
Yes, but perhaps,
it's unobtainable.
But yet
we obsess.
But haven't we confused equality of opportunity with frank equalness?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like you and I are not equal in all things.
No, but
we weren't born equal in all things.
And we're not supposed to be, but we're supposed to have the same laws, regulations, guidelines, access to education and whatever.
So where we get weird is we had – our equality was effed up by our circumstances of life.
Mm-hmm.
Our parents messed up our – you know, so how do we deal with that? How do we level that part of the playing field?
Well,
that's where we get messed up.
Okay. It's hard to go back and build a time machine and level things that are way in your rearview mirror.
Or in the evolution of our biological systems even.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
So this obsession of we need to get Dr. Pudsley and his Wayback Machine, whatever the fuck his name was, Sherman and his Wayback Machine, and go back and fix whatever was, you know, a
picture
Japanese-American internment camps.
Just look up Wayback Machine.
Slavery and everything else. Let's stop staring into history's rearview mirror and trying to figure out ways to fix the shit that was broken
going forward
70 years ago.
Yeah.
Let's move forward and look at ways to do it.
There you go.
I would like to.
That is the Wayback Machine. By the way.
I would like to go back.
Mr. Peabody. Yeah.
And Sherman.
Yeah.
I would like to go back and fix my dad, and I'd like to go back and fix my mom, but I can't.
Wayback Machine. Come on.
Are you listening or not?
I'm too entertained by the Wayback Machine reference. Go ahead.
I can't go back and fix my mom. I can't go back and fix my dad. I can't fix Japanese internment or Japanese-American internment camps, and I can't fix World War II and what happened to the Jews. I cannot fix any of that. But I can't fix arguments I got into 2 weeks ago with my wife.
Yeah.
But moving forward, we can.
Yeah.
And the notion that basically politicians have decided that we all need to stand in the Wayback Machine and look at injustices that were perpetrated upon all of us, some of them through our society, some of them through, hey, there's the Negro counter and there's the white counter. And then others are just, well, he comes from a broken family and his dad wasn't on the scene. And thus he got into trouble and he started running with the wrong folks. And then mama couldn't. And that's why he went to juvenile detention. And the next thing you know, he stabbed an elderly couple. But that's not his fault. We need to stop looking in the Wayback Machine and going into the Wayback Machine and start going forward. Mm-hmm. All right, we have a problem in this community or that community. We have a problem with these folks or those folks. We have a problem with education. We have a problem, whatever we have a problem with. Now let's look forward and let's fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Not interested politically, not interested in that. Everyone has to climb into the Wayback Machine and they can all tell the stories about how when their grandparents came here, poor sharecroppers.
Does this factor into the same thing we were talking about with the shaming if you tell people to behave a certain way?
Right, because they go, in my history, I had parents that were divorced and didn't care or could have been abusive. Your parents were together and your dad was a doctor and they sent you to the finest schools and now you have all this going for yourself and now you're going to come over here and take me, who are basically damaged goods, and shame me with your demands of being quiet for a second time in 45 fucking seconds. And my point is this. Number one, I need you to be quiet. So I don't give a fuck how you absorb that message or what it feels like to you. I need you to be quiet. I'm not telling you this to shame you or to make you feel bad. I would love it if you could be quiet without having me walk over there and tell you to shut the fuck up for a second time. But you've left me no choice. So number one, I do not want to engage in this. It is not comfortable for me to explain to you that you need to stop being late or that you need to shut up or that you need to dress better for meetings. I don't want to do this. You have decided that I get some joy or perverse pleasure from telling you this. Quite the contrary. The boss wants to do work, and he wants to do what the boss wants to do. He does not want you to call you in the office and tell you about your disheveled T-shirt. You understand?
Yeah.
So that's number one. Don't make this about you. He would like this problem to go away. Number one, I would like you to stop talking. Number two, I don't give a fuck how that makes you feel. That's up to you. I'm just delivering the message that you need to stop talking.
Well, you said something three times there that I think is the sort of overriding message.
It wasn't Candyman, was it?
No.
Because we're fucked if I did.
No, you didn't say that. Don't make this about.
Drew has no idea what I'm talking about.
No
but
idea.
Gary's laughing his ass off. Yeah. That's what I like about. There's a move. I think if you said Candyman three times in the mirror, Tyler Perry would show up with a steak knife, fucking kill you. It was a movie, Drew.
Yeah?
Yeah, sorry.
Which I know about it.
You shouldn't know. Okay. God, you haven't even seen The Shining yet.
I did.
Oh!
Oh, yes. After you beat me enough, I went that was back in the day of DVD. I didn't have a DVD player. I mean, a cassette player. I didn't have a DVD player
okay,
yet.
Good.
So it was long enough ago.
Sorry. All right, I said something three times.
Yeah. Don't make this about you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sort of the message for all of us.
Yeah.
Don't make this about you.
Right.
It becomes about you. Now it's narcissistic now. Now it's about everything's about you, and that's grandiose. And,
yeah,
that's, and who's going to change now?
Well, listen.
No one.
And by the way, have you ever thought anybody, has anybody ever thought about this? Like whether it's the teacher hates me or the boss is jealous.
Right. Don't make it about you.
The teacher sits there, has been sitting there for 20 years in the same shitty school.
Right.
It gets the same 35 snot-nosed kids come through there times five or six periods. Really the time to single you out and hate you, huh?
Yeah.
Because of what exactly? Your bad skin? Like what is it that the teachers decided to pursue you?
And by the way, this is somebody who's dedicated their life to trying to help kids and probably has a special sort of in place in their heart for
there's
kids
nothing
to have
that
extra
would
needs.
Delight this teacher more than you getting straight A's on every test that you handed in.
Right.
And you can say the same thing about your football coach, but there's nothing that would delight your football coach more than you being able to be a great run stopper or take it to the outside and go for pay dirt.
But he hates
you. Yes.
He hates you.
He's got a problem with
you. He hates you.
Right.
Your tackles were perfect, but he always calls them shitty.
We have decided that this is an actual thing, Drew. It was never a thing before. We have decided that because of either the color of your skin or your religion or your ethnicity or your sex, that this person could just have it in for you. Or maybe it's just you. Whatever. They don't even need a reason. We have signed off on a bullshit premise. We have signed off. It's like in movie making.
Everything is a bully-victim relationship.
Every time someone holds up a gun, it makes a click sound. Like it makes a ch-ch-ch sound. Like that motion where I'm holding the gun and I go, oh, yeah? Well, how would you like it if I took your head off and I slid it under your chin and it makes a ch-kink? What's it doing? Loading itself now because I'm putting it under your chin? I didn't pull the hammer back. I'm just moving guns doesn't make a noise. But look, somebody decided in Hollywood that there was a noise associated with me now lifting the gun. Like I could be holding the gun next to me and I'd go, oh, yeah, don't take another step. And I'd lift it up to my shoulder and it'd make a ch-chunk sound. But I didn't do anything. I didn't pump it. Yeah. I didn't pull anything. Somebody decided that in Hollywood and now it is.
Yeah.
Somebody decided that people could just not like you and just because of whatever, the color of your skin or who you hung with or how you dressed or whatever, or had it in for you just because it didn't. And everyone signed off on it and we all moved forward.
It's the bully victim thing. Every relationship is
right.
A bully victim.
That's right.
Relationship.
Max Spana.
Oh, and also like when people hang up on a phone, the dial tone just immediately comes back. And that never happens.
That never happens. Also, the people don't know they were hung up on. Hello? 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 Well, you just called the person a fucking douchebag, so they hung up on you. I'm always prepared for when people hang up on me because I've said something to them, but I'm never confused. Hello?
You better talk to my wife.
Hello? And by the way,
you need to have a conversation with her. She'll just hang up all of a sudden.
How many times can you hear a dial tone and think someone is still there? Hello? Dial tone. Hello? Yeah. Your wife?
Oh.
She hangs up?
Hangs up.
Wait a minute.
So annoying.
I've heard you on the phone, let me explain what every single phone call with Dr. Drew on the road in the back of the town car on the way to the airport sounds like when he calls his wife. Somewhere around minute 3, Drew goes into wrap it up mode. Here's how you know. All right. Will do. Will do. Will do. Okay. All righty then. Well then, we'll see you then. Will do. Will do. By the way, if you're talking to someone somewhere around the 85th time you hear the term will do, that means they want off. Okay. All right then. Well then, we'll see it. Will do. What I always enjoy is the reboot.
Yeah, there's always a reboot in there.
The reboot.
Really? She wants to go to dinner?
It's a reboot. It's like, oh, hold on. Will do. Will do. No, I don't know where her retainer is. Did you talk to Delia? So she doesn't. Okay. Will do. Will do. Will do. I always want to grab the phone out of your hand and go, this person's dying to get off the fucking phone with you. Can you just let them off their phone? Put them out of their misery and let them off the phone.
Now, unless we get into stuff that makes her uncomfortable, then it's all of a sudden, are you listening to me? Are you?
Will
really?
Do. What the? All right. Should we take a quick break?
Sure. I
got to. All right. We got your phone calls lined up. Drew, what do you like up there?
Medical detox. Question about Humira. Relationship concept. I like them all. Dating a girl he really loves. She's got. I like the last one. First two are quick.
He really loves. Just got offered up a job overseas. Oh, man.
First two are quick and easy.
All right.
All right. We'll do that.
We'll go line four.
All right.
Available now from Corolla Digital. An evening with Adam Carolla and Dennis Prager, Philadelphia and Redondo Beach. 4 hours of stimulating discussion.
Maybe it's affluence. We have it so good that if people aren't frightened of something, they don't feel they're fully alive.
Uncensored audience questions.
All right, so can we put the lights up a little bit? Line up at the sides if you'd like to ask about anything, as I say on my own.
Wow.
Anything under the sun.
And hilarious commentary.
The truth is, American ethnic groups get along so well. Look at you and me.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are you?
I am a old black blues musician.
See?
Episcopalian.
I didn't even notice that. That's how healthy it is.
Only $7.99 through the store at AdamCarolla.com or on iTunes.
Yeah. Dr. Drew back here. I'm back here. Now time to go to your phone calls. Quiet. Dr. Drew, the podcast, everyone, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, drdrew.com, iTunes, our app. He is very proud of it.
It's good. Work. Yes, I enjoy it.
And I'm going to be playing the Reno Nugget this Saturday, February 23rd. Always a good time over there. Another thing that was brought up that I always complain about.
Hey, before you do, I'm sure this will stay with you. Just a quick thing. People have been very kind about supporting your and my podcast. But this podcast requires a separate move, which you have to go to the Adam and Drew site at adamcarolla.com and then click through on Amazon to support this one. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure everyone's getting that. So I just want to make sure that people that like this show, please do support this show. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
I complained about the sort of fake movie noises, and I was reminded by Chris Maxipata, one that I always have always complained about, which is the stadium lights turning on. Chunk.
Yeah.
Chunk.
Yeah. I heard those at the Super Bowl, didn't you?
Yeah. Everyone looked up and went, huh? When the lights went off, because they were chunk, chunk, chunk. And I said, there's no sound of lights turning on at a stadium.
Yeah.
And
by the way, they don't turn on like that. They
fade warm
up.
Yeah. And there's no chunk to them. But it's now documented that at least when they turn off at the stadium, there's no chunk. But that is
it's
another
an empty stadium. Be fair, empty stadiums make that huge.
Empty, right? That's the other thing that Hollywood signed off on about 20 years ago, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how good the director is, how good the writers. If you're turning lights on. Now, it doesn't do it with reading lamps. There should be some overzealous Foley guy who's just like, I want the big chunk sound in there. Like, turns on the reading lamp, chunk. Turns on the bathroom light, chunk.
And what would the sound even be of? You know what I mean? What is that?
It's unclear because the switch itself doesn't really make a sound.
I'm not sure there's a switch. It's probably like a board.
You probably
push
a button. Yeah. Right. But and then the light itself is just electricity going to multiple light bulbs, which, as we all know, whether you're in the kitchen and it's one light bulb or you're in a stadium and it's 100 light bulbs, there's no sound to a filament heating up.
It would be fascinating to find out where it came from. I bet it's like throwing one of those Frankenstein switches, you know, those levers. Probably one time it was on that thing.
Yeah. There must be some guy who's like the Foley guy that everyone looks up to. Like, that's the dude who came up with the ka-chunk sound when they turn on stadium lights. You know the dude he's talking to? That's the guy who made the gun noise sound whenever you'd move a gun. But you have to move it with hostility.
Aggression.
Meaning
the
gun makes it makes no noise. If I pull my gun out and hand it to you, that doesn't make noise. Like, if you go, hey, drop your guns. Everyone, take your guns out. Drop your guns. You pull your gun out and drop them, it doesn't make any sound. Even if I throw you a gun, it doesn't make a sound. But if I threaten you with it, if I lift it up to your temple, now it makes a gun sound.
But think about it. Movies do have a throw and catch sound for a gun.
Well, yeah.
And they do have a drop sound. Two different sounds. You know what I'm saying?
No.
Not the same sound
as aggression. Nobody knows what you're
saying.
Forget it. Nobody knows what you're saying. Yes, of course. There's a sound. If you're a movie and somebody dropped a shotgun, it made no sound.
You're right.
That would be distracting. Yeah, it has a catch sound. It has a drop sound. But that lives in nature.
A little bit. Yeah, you wouldn't hear it, though, probably in real life. I'm saying they amplify that, too.
Well, they amplify car screeching. All right, Drew. All right. Quiet down. Right. I think you're not going anywhere with this.
All right, you're right.
All right. John?
Yeah, I'm here.
John, I want to talk to you about our friends at GoToMeeting.
Okay.
Oh, well, it could actually help him.
It could. That's right, because you're thinking about moving overseas, right?
Yep. Correct.
Yeah.
That's it.
You need GoToMeeting with HD faces. You can look at your beautiful, beautiful girl in high HD quality. Brought to you by Citrix. powerfully simple way to meet and collaborate. And maybe, you know, it doesn't all have to be business, right, Drew? Man gets lonely.
You can share
out
pictures,
there.
Too.
Share pictures, that's right. Documents, spreadsheets. Mm-hmm. Collaborate in HD, video. Launch and host, attend meetings for any Mac, PC. What do you got there, John? You got a Mac or PC, iPhone, iPad? What do you got? Tablet?
I go with a Mac.
Mac, there you go. Fine. Fine with GoToMeeting. You start hosting for free. How long are you going to be gone for if you go overseas?
You know, I don't really know yet. It could be 5 years, could be 10 years, could be 20 years.
Well, the first 30 days are going to be free. That much I can tell you. GoToMeeting. First 30 days free. Hey, that's a month. And who knows? Maybe you guys break up at the end of those 30 days.
Could be.
Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button and use the promo code Adam. All right. So what's going on with you, John? You're dating a girl.
Well, first of all, where are you going that you might stay a year or 20 years? Are you military?
No, it's not military. It's for the government. I can't say which section of government.
He's like some sort of covert operator.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible.
And I just finished with the whole 18-month interview process and got offered about 3 weeks ago. And I live here in L.A. in Brentwood with my girlfriend, who's amazing.
That's nice.
Now, listen, I'm going to talk about John as though we're not talking about him. But I've treated a bunch of CIA guys.
Mm-hmm.
And strangely enough, they all sound like this one. They're not Sean Connery.
Yeah, well,
they're nondescript, low key.
It helps not
average.
To have a personality in that industry. They're not great song and dance men.
Well, but they just blend in.
Yeah, you know? See, Tommy Tune wouldn't blend in.
Yeah,
he's too tall. He's wearing that top hat.
Tommy Tune.
It's a great song and dance man.
Anyway, so how long have you been with the girlfriend?
See, Gary doesn't know who Tommy Tune is, so now you're even.
I know.
There he is. Hold on now.
Oh, Jesus.
All right.
I've been with her for about 3 years now.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so is the question, do we break up or does she come with me? Can she come with you?
No, she couldn't.
Oh, my God.
It's dangerous.
Does she know you're facing this or will you just disappear one day?
No, I have told her and she knows I'm contemplating it. And, you know, I especially after that last go-around you guys were just talking about, narcissism and everything. I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's. I'm currently a financial consultant, and it pays really well, but I'll be honest, it bores the living fuck out of me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just always something I've wanted to do, kind of like my dream job. And I don't know. You know, I don't know what to do. I feel like it's selfish of me, almost.
Well, let me ask this. What's your girly do? Does she have a career?
Yeah.
What's she do?
She works for Universal, actually. She's a marketer.
Mm.
So
she's got a career. You have a career. You want to chase your dreams. How far out from, you know, kids and marriage would you say you would be if you stayed here and did your financial work?
2 years.
2 years.
Do you have any control over how long you stay over there? Or once you're in, it's just you're in, it's going to be what it's going to be?
Yeah, I think the latter.
You have no control.
Yep. Mm.
Are you willing to sacrifice? I mean, is it – listen.
The problem is he's not young. He's not old.
Right.
He's right in between.
Right.
They have something that's working.
Yes.
That's pretty rare in this town.
But this is his dream.
On the other hand, it's his dream. And I'm going to say this, John. If you – let me put him on hold. Once people start describing things in terms of this is my dream or you've destroyed my life or whatever it is, then the burden on whatever the relationship is or was is so powerful.
Because it's going to be resentment. You're going to
never overcome it.
Right. You're going to resent the relationship.
Going overseas and doing this kind of covert work for the military or for the government, that's something I've always thought about doing.
Right.
Then it can overcome that.
That's right.
But saying, this is my dream, and now she is now the one standing between you and your dream, And that's never going to be a good thing in any form of relationship.
Right. That's
so
right.
Now, because it's your dream, you must go. You'll probably be miserable and be back in 18 months begging for her back.
Right.
But you've called it your dream. If you call it a hobby or a pursuit or something you've always thought about, that's something else. But if you're going to refer to it as your dream, then you have to get on that plane.
These guys hire a bunch of financial guys. So
oh,
that's probably what he's
the
doing.
The FBI. Mm-hmm. Financial guys, yeah, because they got to look into that that money laundering.
They just have to guys who can follow the sense and they don't follow things. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, oh, yeah. John, so I agree with Adam, but I could not make that decision for you or even advise you on it. It's a very personal decision.
Nemo, 33,
yeah.
Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hey, can you guys hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it says you have a question about Humira. Do you have rheumatoid arthritis?
No, Crohn's, which is the other,
yeah,
which is one of the main reasons, like, I'm questioning it.
Well, it's a new indication for Crohn's, and it works quite well.
New medication.
No, that's not a new medication.
For
it's
Crohn's,
new,
you
it's
said.
A new indication, right.
Indication. New, yeah. I don't know what that means. What do you mean?
Meaning it's appropriate to use it for, that's indicated for that illness. It's
oh,
now
it's a new, oh, so
new
they
use.
Now say it's a new use
yeah.
for Crohn's disease.
Yeah, and it works quite well, and you're probably concerned about some of the scarier risk factors associated with it, right?
Well, like yeah,
that.
You know.
Seems like I've seen a lot of commercials for that stuff lately.
Yeah, it's these are good. That whole class is very good. I mean, it really is revolutionized treatment of autoimmune diseases like rheumatoid arthritis, like Crohn's. Crohn's is a disease where your immune system attacks your gut, mostly the small and large bowel, but it can attack from your mouth to your anus.
So it's like when someone says, I hate your guts, this is like you hating your guts.
This is you, yeah.
You hate your own guts.
Crohn's is you hating your guts. And in the old days, it got, listen to this, it used, before we could control it, it would get so inflamed that the bowel would adhere to the wall of the abdomen and break through to the surface.
Ugh.
Like the bowel was abscessing out of itself.
Ugh.
It's just awful.
Oh.
It's an awful illness.
Oh.
It's fun, isn't it?
Oh, it's awesome. And so people get fistulas into their back, into their – oh, it was just horrific.
Whoa,
so,
wait a minute, Drew.
Yeah.
In the old days, you say?
We had Eastern medicine.
What
then.
About the wisdom of the Orient?
The Orient could take care of it, no problem.
Well, I don't get it because the wisdom of the Orient goes back like 2,000 years. You're only talking about 100, 150 years.
20.
20 years. Whoa. What happened to the wisdom of the Orient?
Well, the man didn't let us apply it properly.
So
if the man had given us the right herbs, we could have cured it.
Could have cured it with herbs.
Yeah.
And now you got to go big pharma.
Now you got to go the Humira.
Yeah.
Expensive drug.
So sad.
Making the man rich.
Yeah. Hey, Nemo, you're in Baltimore. How about a little wisdom of the Orient? You know what I mean?
Well, you know, my girl's kind of going that route, like diet and that kind of thing. And that's all well and good, but my doctor feels like it's at the stage right now where it's durable. And so he's recommending this drug.
Yeah, Nemo, it's not well and good. Unfortunately, your girlfriend's never seen full-blown Crohn's when people's bowels are exploding out of their abdominal wall. And that's how it used to be when people had nothing but herbs.
Nemo,
so
we live in a very toxic environment. You understand?
The environment is toxic.
Drew,
I'm listening.
That phone you're holding?
Yes, toxic.
The rubber on the outside of that phone? That's vulcanized rubber. That's toxic. You understand?
Yes.
That sweater you're wearing has rayon in it. That's toxic. You understand? The glasses you're wearing that has plastic in it. Toxic. The microphone you're speaking into that has a foam cover on it, toxic. Do you understand? Your body is a sponge, okay? Okay?
Okay.
And it absorbs. Look, if you took a sponge and you put it into a sink of dirty water, what would it do?
It would absorb all the dirty
water. It would absorb the dirty water. Okay. Your body's a sponge. This is your sink, okay? Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. What would a tampon do if you dipped it in punch?
It would absorb the punch.
Okay. Okay. You are a tampon. You understand? You live in a punch bowl.
I'm a tampon?
With a sherbet thing floating in it. Okay. But here's the thing. Your body is a sponge. Okay. You live in a toxic environment. Okay.
Okay.
You soak up. The top of this is a bamboo wood grain, but it's not actually bamboo, okay?
I mean, the man created
this. This is plastic.
This is not natural.
3M makes this.
This is natural.
You make chemicals for a living, okay? You're putting your hands on this. If you put your hand in acid, You would feel that, right?
What's an acid? Oh, it's that thing that burns. A liquid that burns.
It would burn you because you
acid
absorb.
Acid is a liquid that burns.
No, you absorb that, okay? When you touch...
I'm going to start with people don't even know what an acid is.
It's a sponge, and you absorb your environment, and we live amongst toxins, okay? Now, the only way to... Now, when you wring that sponge, well, then that dirty sink water comes out of it, right? God. What if you were to rinse that sponge under some clean mountain water? Okay. Well, that's exactly what we're talking about with these enemas. You understand?
Oh, my God.
Okay? Okay.
So, but here's Nemo. The deal. But here's what kills me. Here's what kills me. When I ask people just, okay, first of all, it kills me. You can laugh about it. I actually am driven to distraction by it.
Yes.
I'll say like, okay, what's an acid? Describe acid to me even. They have no training. Do you understand what
I'm
acid
a sponge.
Is?
I'm not an acidologist.
So I'll say, just draw me the chemical formula. Just the chemical formula of a toxin. And show me the stoichiometric equation.
But I ate red meat this week. And I'm still kind of riding that downward.
God.
You know, you spike. You know, if you eat like...
You lived with this for 10 years.
You eat a processed food. You have that spike, that high you feel.
God.
When you eat brisket, but then you start to bottom out. I could draw you that molecule, but I'm on a red meat bottom. I'm a super, you know what I mean? I've hit the bottom of my red meat. You know where I am? If red meat, if it was a canyon... I would be kayaking in the bottom of it right now.
It's like Portlandia,
okay?
Right?
Everybody's never seen Portlandia.
Oh my God! Okay, Nemo, let's get to the question.
Oh.
So, Nemo, so you're worried about lymphoma, right? That's the big, the horrible side effect from Humira, right?
It is.
Yeah,
it's exceedingly rare. Yes, you have to decide with your doctor if it's worth the risk. It's something that does happen. But it's so rare. And I've got many, many patients on Humira whose lives have been – the trajectory of their illnesses have been completely changed.
You get cancer from Humira?
There's some concern about that. It's not actually proven yet, but it's concerning.
But it's one of these – it's better than whatever
Better than
is.
Your bowel splitting open through your abdominal wall and better than taking prednisone, which was the old thing for you know.
Right.
I'm sure you're on something like that. Now you're on Acicol and – are you on Acicol and prednisone?
Acicol.
Pentasa, rather. I beg your pardon.
Who would name Acicol? All right.
Yeah, Pentasa, and that's also typical stuff for Crohn's. Is it controlled with the Pentasa?
Not really, no. I mean, I'm not suffering, but it just sort of keeps it at bay. Like, I can always sort of feel.
Yeah, so that maybe the Humira can go for a while and get it, you know, in remission, and then you go back off it, possibly?
Nemo?
Yeah.
How about one of those magnets you put between your box spring and your mattress? You know, hold on a second.
Magnet on your wrist.
Your wrist.
Yeah.
Okay. Picture a circuit board.
Do you know what makes my skin crawl when you do this stuff?
Picture a circuit board. Your body is a circuit board, all right?
Okay.
It's electronic. It's your brain is a giant battery.
How do cells communicate
through electricity. Okay, now what if something was to interrupt that circuit board? What if I took coffee and I dumped it all over that circuit board? Yeah, okay? Okay, because that's what you are. You're a sponge attached to a circuit. You're a circuit sponge. Okay? What if we took that circuit board and we threw it into that dirty sink water with all those toxins?
Disaster. Blow up.
All right.
Sparks.
What this magnetic hernia truss does for me is it pulls. You know how when I take a magnet, okay, let's say there's iron shavings everywhere, and I take this magnet and I put it in the middle of the iron shaving. Well, it's all drawn to it, isn't it? What's it do? It pulls it to the magnet. So instead of having these shavings everywhere, they come. When I put on my magnetic truss, I am pulling all of the circuits to the core.
Oh, to your chakra. Your chakra.
My chakra. It's my core. Okay? And it pulls the toxins. You're just one circuit board of electricity. And again, if a raccoon urinated on your circuit board, what would it do? You'd short out, wouldn't you? Okay. That's all it is.
Enough said.
That's why you need the magnetic bracelet. It pulls.
I blame all this on the lack of science education. I really do. nobody is trained in science anymore or basic biology.
Oh.
I mean, nobody.
We've given up on geography and science and everything and decided that it's all about arts. Like, there's literally billboards all over Los Angeles, one with our mayor, Tony Villar, explaining that it was the arts and the education that, you know, opened his mind. First off, shop class, infinitely more important to your mind than learning to play the tuba for a couple semesters. I think the way I think, because I think mechanically. Mm-hmm. I have a brain where I engineer things in my mind, and I lay things out in my mind that I would have never got from doing interpretive dance when I was in the ninth grade at fucking all. Mm-hmm. Find this comical billboard with the guy who, by the way, they're all it's all we do is jack ourselves off over the arts. Arts are wildly unimportant to kids. They have no bearing. Sports, number one. Sports is number one. Yeah, you got to dream big. First off,
see, I love the arts though.
Let the pros handle it then.
Yeah, but that starts.
Let me see what his one says. We got to figure
out.
I
think great societies foster great art. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right, but they do it. We don't need the kids. I don't need to turn my kids on to art. They will either be they will want to dance.
Yeah.
They will be musically inclined, or they won't. I don't need to force that upon them. Now, what you do need to force upon them is organization, sports,
piano lessons.
How to use your
brain.
A little
bit important in pushing them through.
If they want to, they'll do it. All right, your kids took the piano.
Yeah.
And he play professionally?
One's a music fool.
Yeah, but he's not going to be a professional pianist.
Probably not.
Okay. So, look, did it help them with discipline? Yes. You could have had somebody have them do push-ups 2 hours a day, and they would have been wildly disciplined as well. It's not hurting them.
Yeah.
It's not hurting them, but it doesn't.
There's all this data about music helping certain language development skills and stuff. It's there. I mean, I don't disagree with you. I get what you're saying.
It's nonstop talk about the arts, zero talk about shop class.
How about science?
Or science.
People talk about engineering. That's math. How about science? How the fucking world operates? How it actually works?
It's not interested.
It's not storytelling.
But Drew, what about being in our town? Don't you think? I don't mean Los Angeles. Yeah. I mean being in a play.
Glass Menagerie.
Yeah. All right. Where is that fucking
hang
picture?
Hang a second. Nemo, let me go back to Nemo. Nemo, the other thing about you, you'll probably be able to get off the Humira, which my understanding is, at least, I'm not sure this is true, but my understanding is the real risk are people that are on Humira for long periods of time, which is like the rheumatoid arthritis patients. So I say you work with your doctor to work out what's best for you.
All right. Now we'll try to find the inflate. Just what's it say? It says dream big, and then it says arts education or something. Right. Just tell me what it says, Mike.
Arts education fuels creative thinking.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, a picture of a young Villaraigosa.
You were a ceramics major.
Villaraigosa failed the bar 4 times and then decided it was too hard and hung it up.
Oh, he didn't. He didn't become a lawyer.
No, he didn't fail it 4 times and then pass it. Yeah. He just failed it 4 times. Have you heard the man speak, Drew?
Not really.
He sounds like a guy with a learning disability attempting to read a teleprompter after huffing on copier toner.
God.
He's an imbecile. He sounds like an idiot. I mean, he does that, this individual is dangerous. He has taken 3 lives in cold blood. There's never a justification for the taking of an innocent life. What the fuck are you saying, idiot? Give us some fucking facts or something we don't know. Yes, he killed 3 people. Yes, he did it in cold blood. We understand he didn't sneak up on them, give them a syringe, or take them to a chamber to get gassed to death. We understand. He shot people. Yes, I know. It's not justifiable. You're going to bring him to justice. He's a complete fucking imbecile. So whatever he did should be the opposite of whatever your kids do. And let's talk about shop. I agree on my behalf. And we'll talk about science.
Yes, on my behalf.
But
please,
do you ever hear about science? Do you ever hear about shop? Or is it all just about how somehow taking interpretive dance turns on your brain. And let me ask you this, Drew.
Dig.
I don't need the mayor of Los Angeles to be creative. I need him to be good with numbers.
Yeah.
And smart.
Yeah.
And realistic, not creative.
Good manager.
Yeah, I don't want that. I want that in a cruise director.
Right.
I don't want that in a fucking guy who's running the seventh largest economy in the world. So what is this whole emphasis on creativity? What about, don't we want a group as a society? Don't we want people who know numbers, no science, no math, well, no engineering, no building? What, we want everyone being creative and doing what? Waiting tables?
Dirt clods. Throwing dirt clods like you were trained.
Yeah. All right. Medical detox with Paul.
Yeah. Paul.
Paul?
Hello.
What's going on?
Yeah. Hey, Adam and Drew, big fans. My brother's going to flip out when he hears me on the podcast. I'm a CADC student in my final practicum.
Yeah.
And lately, what is that, Drew?
It's a chemical dependency counselor in California.
No.
Yes.
And?
And well, what lately,
about,
I don't know.
What about interpretive dance? I mean... Don't we need more of those
people?
I've
been getting a lot of calls from people saying that they need to know if they need to come in for treatment, and they've been reporting this huge amount of use, and so it's very easily like, okay, go to detox, okay, go to detox, and it's been really frequent. I'm wondering at what threshold do I say, and is it safe to say, well, you can come on in for an assessment, we'll take a look at you, this and that, because the calls that I've been getting the past couple of days have been, I drink a handle a day, I drink a pint a day, and all, and that's just very obviously, okay, go to detox.
What's a handle?
It's those bottles that are like the gas.
Oh, they call them a handle.
Yeah, they call them handles.
I got a handle on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need to get a handle on Mangria.
Yeah. That could be coming. Yeah, listen, any of them, you can come in for an assessment as long as they don't stop. And as you know, whatever they tell you is a distortion anyway, whether
right.
it's a, you know, it's so... Yeah, you know, with alcohol, as you well know, that's the one withdrawal that can be fatal very easily, and
right.
and should be medically managed. Even if it's just, you know, a bottle of wine a day, sometimes people can have I'm sorry, Adam. People can have significant withdrawal with relatively moderate
even red wine,
even red wine,
even like a Pinot Noir.
Like a fine Pinot, yes, a bottle a day, you're getting into it. So I'm not sure, you know,
spread out over a whole sports center. You know what I mean? Chugging it in the kitchen.
Circumspect all about any consumption. But, you know, if they're sort of on the fence about their motivation, have them come and tell them not to stop and come in for an assessment.
All right. Last call. Reno. This is Chris from Reno. I'm going to be at the Nugget. So check that out soon.
It's in Reno, not in Las Vegas. You're going to be in Reno?
I think so. Okay. That's how it works. Yeah. Chris?
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
Hey, so a friend of mine, like more coworker than friend, he got fired today from his job, and he posted on Facebook that he was going to kill himself, and I'm just wondering, like, kind of like what I should do about it, and if it's really my responsibility to, like, step in and do something.
Where'd he get fired from at 19?
Oh, he's not 19. He's, like, 25.
Oh.
But
still.
Yeah.
Did he have a good job?
It was okay. It was kind of, we work at a museum here.
Museum
in Reno?
Art museum in Reno?
But,
he didn't get canned from Noggles?
Because that's
where you kill yourself. all right. Well, look, he's depressed.
No.
Whatever. You got to take it seriously.
You take it very seriously. If you have a suicide assessment team locally, you call them. If you don't have that, you call the cops. You report it. Give the address. You do not F around with this.
Look, the thing about...
And so if you can't do any of that, you get somebody in the home with them immediately.
Threatening suicide is like going to an airport and saying, I have a bomb. It's like...
Yes.
I don't care if you're fucking around or not.
Yeah.
We are obligated to act upon it as
take
a society.
Very serious. Not just as a society. Ethically, we just have, you got to take it. It's a medical emergency. It's the same thing as saying I'm having chest pain and I can't breathe.
Right. So that's it. And if you're fucking around, you're fucking around. But you will learn that just like saying I have a bomb at an airport.
Or fire in a movie theater or something.
That's right. Mm-hmm. All right, Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
Really, stellar work as per usual. I'm proud of you, man. Took a lot of guts to show your face around here. Again, if you want to click through the Amazon link on the Adam and Drew page at adamcarolla.com, and if you'd like to donate, please be generous. Click the PayPal donate button. Me and Drew heading out Denver, Vegas, Salt Lake City, Redondo Beach, Napa, all in the next few weeks and months. You can go to adamcarolla.com and hit the live show button, live appearances, and you'll find the dates and the cities. And the
Dr.com, I think I've got it up there, too.
Don't worry about that. And the names of the theaters. But these things will sell out, so let's get going. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew, Mike Lynch, Chris Maxpata, and Gary Haftard saying mahalo.
This is Carolla Digital.